Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're the show that takes a whole stack of sources, pulls out the really key stuff, and basically gives you that shortcut to being properly informed. Today, we're plunging into, well, a corner of programming that might seem a bit niche, maybe. Predefined functions, specifically the ones that handle converting characters and numbers. Our mission, really, is to see how these simple-sounding tools give us a huge leg up in understanding core computing ideas and, maybe surprisingly, how they pop up in really critical real-world situations. Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. We're looking at functions for character and number conversions, things like ASCII, you know, how characters are represented, and also a fascinating math thing called the modulus operator. You might be thinking, converting characters, finding remainders, what's deep about that? And yeah, that's often the first reaction.
It's a fair question, and it really gets to why these functions are, well, so powerful under the hood. Think of predefined functions, like specialized tools, already built into the language by whoever created it. You don't really need to know exactly how they work internally, just what they do for you and why that matters. They usually take some info parameters, we call them do something specific, and give you back one result. And yeah, most people know about basic ones like changing text to uppercase or lowercase, or maybe getting random numbers. But today, we're really focusing on a couple that are super insightful for understanding how computers handle data. That's ord and, actually force for characters, and then the modulus operator, which, as you said, is about remainders, but wait till you see where it leads.
All right, let's start there then. Characters and how computers actually, well, see them. Let's dive into ASCII conversion with ORD and such. First up, ORD, short for ordinal, right?
That's it.
Its job seems simple.
Yeah.
Give it a character, it gives you back its number code, the ASCII code. This feels pretty fundamental for text processing. But why? Why does A need to be a number anyway?
Right. Well, deep down, a computer just gets numbers. Binary, really, zeros and ones. It has no clue what an A or a hashtag symbol means intrinsically. So for us to use text, there has to be some kind of standard map, a translation guide that's ASCII, the American Standard Code for Information Interchange. It's basically a big list matching characters. We use letters, numbers, punctuation to unique numbers. So yeah, when you type A, the computer doesn't see A, it sees 65. That's its ASCII number. And ORD is the function that does that translation for you, from the character to the number. So ORD A definitely gives you back the integer 65. And this is super useful in programming, especially when you need to, say, do math with characters or compare them numerically.
Okay, got it. So ORD is the translator. Character in, number out. Makes sense if computers only speak number. How does this actually play out in, like, real code? What are the applications beyond just knowing A is 65?
Oh, loads. A really common one is input validation. Super important. Imagine you're asking for a password, right? And you need it to have at least one lowercase letter. You can use ORD on each character the user types. Lowercase A through Z have ASCII values from 97 to 122. So you just check. Is the ORD value of this character in that range?
Ah, okay. So you check the number range instead of just like alphabetical order.
Exactly. Same for uppercase. There's 65 to 90. Numbers are 48 to 57. You can build complex rules this way. It's much more precise. Or simpler, checking if someone entered just one character when you asked for one town. Check the ORD value exists and maybe its length.
That's definitely powerful for validation. And you mentioned something earlier about a secret message task. This sounds like it connects directly.
It does. Yeah, it's a classic simple example of encryption. Imagine taking a word, say hello. You use ORD on each letter. H is 72, E is 69, L is 76, O is 79. Mm-hmm. Then you maybe add one to each number. 73, 70, 77, 77, 80. Now those numbers don't immediately look like hello.
Right, it's scrambled numerically. Yeah. But how do you get it back to letters?
Ah, well, that's where the partner function comes in, OHR, which stands for character.
Yeah.
As you probably guessed, it does the exact opposite.
Okay, so number in, character out.
Precisely. You give OKH an ASCII number, an integer, and it gives you back the character. So kite 65 returns A, OA73 would give you I, Creighton gives F, and so on. So our shifted numbers become IFMMP.
IFMMP. Okay, so that's the secret message. A basic cipher.
Exactly. ORD to encode, OCHR, to decode. They work as a pair. You see this basic idea scaled up in lots of data processing. You could even use OCHR to generate characters, like looping from 65 to 90 and printing a spike of each number to print the alphabet. One important thing, though, with OCHR, you need to make sure the number you give it is actually a valid ASCII code. Usually that's between 0 and 255. Give it something outside that or a decimal and you might get an error or just garbage. Validation matters here, too.
Right. Makes sense. Keep it within the known map. So that ORD pair handles the character side of things. It feels like the foundation for how computers manage text. Now let's switch gears to that other operator you mentioned, modulus, the percent sign percent usually, or MOD. I remember learning about remainders in school, it felt like. Well, just arithmetic. Why is this operator so significant in programming?
Yeah, it does seem basic on the surface. At its core, modulus just gives you the remainder left over after you divide one whole number by another. So the classic example, 17 MOD4. You ask, how many times does 4 go into 17? Well, 4 times, right, that's 16. What's left over?
1.
Exactly. So 17 MOD4 is 1. That's all it does fundamentally. It isolates the remainder. And just to clarify, it works even if the first number is smaller. Like 4 MOD17, 17 goes into 4 0 times.
With 4 left over. So fine. 4 MOD17 is 4. Got it.
All right.
Okay, so it finds the remainder. Simple enough. But you hinted it has these remarkably powerful applications. Where does finding a leftover bit become so important? I'm struggling to picture that.
This is where it gets, honestly, pretty amazing. That humble remainder. It's actually a cornerstone of modern digital security.
Seriously? How?
Modulus is heavily used in encryption, especially the really strong stuff, like public and private key systems, think RSA, which secures a lot of internet traffic. The remainder from certain very large calculations is used as a key part of the encryption process. It relies on something called modular arithmetic.
Modular arithmetic?
Yeah, think of it like numbers on a clock. When you pass 12, you wrap around back to 1, right? Modulus does that mathematically. It forces calculations to stay within a specific range of numbers. MOD12 keeps things in the 0-11 range, like a clock. This wrapping around property is absolutely essential for creating what we call one-way functions or trapdoor functions in cryptography. These are calculations that are easy to do one way.
But incredibly hard to undo.
Exactly, unless you have a secret key. The modulus operation helps create this mathematical lock. Changing the input even slightly can drastically change the remainder, making it super hard to work backwards without knowing the specific numbers, the keys involved. It's not just secret messages anymore. This is fundamental to secure online banking, secure websites, everything.
Wow. Okay, that is profound. So that simple percent sign I see in code could literally be part of the system keeping my data safe online. That's unexpected. Are there other uses, maybe less dramatic ones?
Oh, definitely. That wrapping around idea is useful elsewhere, too. Think about anything cyclic, like figuring out the day of the week 100 days from now. If today's Tuesday, day two, maybe, you do 2 plus 100, MOD7. The remainder tells you the day, wrapping around the 7 days of the week. It's also crucial for hash functions. You know, when you store lots of data and need to find it quickly, like in a database, hashing maps big data pieces to small index numbers. Modulus helps spread that data out evenly across storage slots, making lookups super fast.
Okay, like organizing things into buckets using the remainder.
Pretty much. And even simpler stuff like checking if a number is even or odd. Any number, MOD2 will be 0 if it's even and 1 if it's odd. It's surprisingly versatile.
That's quite a range, from basic parity checks to the core of internet security. Incredible. Okay, and briefly, you also mentioned another conversion function, int. This one seems the simplest. It turns a decimal number, a float, into a whole number, an integer. What's the key takeaway there?
Well, simple, yes, but important. Int usually works by truncation. That means it just chops off anything after the decimal point.
Chopped it off. Doesn't round it.
Typically, no. So int 3.14 becomes 3. And importantly, in 3.99 also becomes 3. It just drops the decimal part entirely.
Okay, I see.
And this is useful, again, for, you guessed it, input validation. Say you need the user to enter their age. They type 25.7. If you just use int on that, you get 25. Now, you could compare that 25 back to the original 25.7. If they're different, you know they entered a decimal when you wanted a whole number. It helps catch errors or misunderstandings.
Right. Validating that the input type was correct, not just the value. And that truncation, I can see how that matters. If you were dealing with money, just chopping off cents would be bad.
Exactly. So int isn't just converting, it's making a decision about precision. Sometimes you want that truncation, sometimes you definitely don't. It's also vital when you're getting data from somewhere else, maybe a file or a web form. It might arrive as text, like the string 123, or maybe it's technically a float, 123.00. Using int ensures you have a proper integer type if that's what your calculation needs next. It avoids type errors down the line. It's about getting your data into the exact format you need.
Makes sense. Control over the data type.
Okay, so let's tie this all together. We've looked at ord and str. For characters and their number codes, the modulus operator, percent for remainders and its surprising security role, and int for turning decimals into whole numbers. Individually, they seem like small utility functions, but when you connect the dots, it's clear these predefined functions are actually, well, fundamental building blocks. They're essential for making software that's robust, secure, and handles data correctly.
That's a great summary. Understanding these tools isn't just about learning specific commands. It gives you real insight into how software works at a lower level, how it achieves efficiency. Programmers use these constantly, so they don't have to, you know, reinvent the wheel for basic, critical tasks like character mapping or integer conversion or remainder calculation. They let developers focus on the bigger picture, the actual problem they're trying to solve. They're the quiet workhorses. So we've seen the power packed into these functions, converting characters, finding remainders, managing number types, and especially how modulus has these really deep applications in keeping our digital world secure.
Absolutely. And if you zoom out, these operations, they might seem small, but they are truly crucial for building software that's flexible, reliable, and secure. It's a perfect example of how abstract ideas like number theory or character encoding have very concrete, very vital uses in the tech we rely on every single day, often completely invisibly.
Right. So what does this all mean for you listening? Maybe just take a moment next time you're doing anything digital, sending a message, logging into your bank, even just browsing. Think about what might be happening under the surface. How many little secret messages are being encoded and decoded? How many clever remainder tricks are confirming identities or securing data, all thanks to these fundamental functions? What other hidden powers might be built into the code you use every day, quietly making things work? Keep asking those questions.